Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Coming up are reports from Mario Ritter and Alice Bryant. We'll close the show with an American story. But first, the last African elephant at the Johannesburg Zoo, Lammy, lost her male partner to a sickness in September. Lammy was born in the zoo 39 years ago. She had lived for 17 years with Kinkle, who died at age 35. Kinkle had been rescued in the wild after his trunk was caught in a trap in 2000. Around the time of her partner's death on September 4th, Lammy had stopped eating. The day before Kinkle died, she was seen trying to help him get up. Elephants are known for their intelligence, strong social ties, and even the ability to mourn. Some people argue Lammy should be sent to another place where she can be with other elephants. Audrey Delsink is Wildlife Director of Humane Society International, Africa. She said Lammy is in desperate need of a happier existence and the chance to live out her years with other elephants. Delsink added that a wildlife rescue place is ready to take Lammy if the Johannesburg Zoo agrees to let her go. But the zoo says Lammy is staying. The zoo says it serves an educational purpose, especially for the poor who cannot pay to visit wildlife parks. Michelle Pickover disagrees. She is director of the EMS Foundation, a South Africa-based African wildlife rights group. She said, "Nobody learns anything by seeing an elephant in captivity." She said that watching a film about elephants would be more educational. But a spokeswoman for the Johannesburg Zoo, Jenny Moodley, says it is looking for a new partner for Lammy. She said the zoo is following guidelines in its search set by the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums. She added that experts are closely observing Lammy and that the elephant might not adapt well to a new environment. Moodley said of Lammy, "She is coping incredibly well, considering that she has lost her partner."
South Korea's capital, Seoul, has a problem with waste. In April, the city had too much waste from man-made products such as plastic and vinyl. The reason? Recycling companies refused to collect them because it is no longer profitable. As a result, unrecycled goods began piling up in Seoul's neighborhoods. Talks between the companies and city officials finally ensured removal after about 2 weeks. But the bigger problem remains: what to do with all of the unrecycled waste? Seoul officials are turning to upcycling to fix the problem. The term upcycling means using old or unwanted goods and materials to create valuable new products. An example would be making a mailbox from an aging computer tower. The Seoul Upcycling Plaza, or SUP, building is home to the process of collecting, separating, and breaking down disposed products into reusable materials and upcycled goods. 35 upcycling businesses were chosen in a competition to be housed there and begin the process. SUP Director Yun Dae-young admits there are limits to recycling. Not everything can be broken down and made into reusable materials, she said. So upcycling is needed to add value to old, unwanted goods. Seoul plans to recycle more than 70% of its plastics by the year 2030. To this aim, Yun said, SUP's materials bank will supply the materials for people to produce upcycled goods. People can find more than 400 kinds of materials and purchase it for their purpose, she added. Most companies moving into the upcycling business make specialty products with the materials they collect. These include things like origami supplies made from used milk containers and dinner plates made from flattened wine bottles. Visitors can buy products or, if they choose, help to produce the upcycled goods. A service center at SUP also repairs broken electronic devices with parts taken from machines that no longer work. Yet many of the upcyclers and suppliers make their products by hand and do not yet have enough workers to increase production. And some people are unhappy that the upcycled products cost more than they had expected. A business called Touch for Good upcycles signs into handbags, wallets, and other things. The owner, Bak Mi Hyun, says it is important to think about the process in the right way. She says that upcycling is more about making specialized goods than making large amounts of one thing like a factory would. Park operates the city's Material Research Center for upcycling. She says most upcycling material must be separated by hand and that new products are also made by hand. She said that the upcycling market in South Korea has a good chance of growing because there are more than 200 companies in business. But environmental experts suggest it is more important to reduce the amount of plastic being used than to develop upcycling. Around the world, only 9% of plastic is actually recycled. One reason is that making new plastic costs less than recycling used plastic. And single-stream recycling has made the separation and cleaning of recyclable goods even more costly and difficult. In Seoul, the American coffee house company Starbucks has replaced plastic straws with paper ones. Other restaurants have also stopped using plastic straws and are asking people to bring their own straws. Still others have moved to such materials as metal straws. Other eateries are asking people to bring reusable drink cups. And in supermarkets in Seoul, single-use plastic bags are banned. In addition, The South Korean capital plans to decrease use of single-use products in the city government beginning in 2020. I'm Alice Bryant.
Christmas tree farmers in the United States are concerned about competition from plastic trees. In the past, plastic or artificial trees were not very realistic. They looked like bad copies of the evergreen trees that many Americans traditionally put up and decorate during the Christmas holiday season. But today's artificial trees look much more like real ones. Some even come with decorative lights already on them. They are easy to fold up and store until the following year. Today, about 75% of Americans who get a Christmas tree choose an artificial one. Christmas tree growers hope to get more people to buy real trees with the help of the Christmas Tree Promotion Board. The group is running a social media campaign in support of real Christmas tree sales. The campaign is called It's Christmas, Keep It Real. The board was set up in 2015 by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It is paid for mainly by a 15-cent tax on each tree harvested. In many ways, it is similar to earlier efforts to support other agricultural products, such as the famous Got Milk and Beef It's What's for Dinner campaigns. Those advertising campaigns are remembered by millions of Americans. The target of the Christmas tree campaign is the millennial mom. Millennials are a generation that started to near adult age around the year 2000 or later. The campaign includes a series of short films that appear on social media sites like Instagram and Facebook. They show families as they search for the perfect natural tree for their home. The National Christmas Tree Association supports sales of both natural and artificial trees. The organization estimates that 25 million evergreens are harvested each year. Not all are sold, however. Thomas Mack Harmon is with Balsam Hill, a big seller of artificial trees. He says Americans buy about 10 million of the products each year. People usually keep the same artificial tree for several years. Many Americans say they buy artificial trees because they do not require the effort of going out and choosing one every year. Some say they use an artificial tree because they are allergic to pine trees. Others say they like the fact that artificial trees are less likely to catch fire than natural ones. Harmon said that artificial trees should not be seen as a threat to Christmas tree farmers. Many families have both a real tree and an artificial one, he said. But Casey Grogan, who runs Silver Bells Tree Farm in Silverton, Oregon, is not so sure. Oregon is the top Christmas tree growing state in the country. He said he has seen many tree farmers in his area go out of business. Grogan said that it takes 8 to 10 years to grow an evergreen that may one day be a Christmas tree. He worries that his industry will disappear if too many people buy artificial trees because of their easy use. It may be a little difficult, but not everything is easy, he said. He added that choosing to use a natural tree is worth the extra effort. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Now it's time for The American Story, The Gift of the Magi, by O. Henry. Here is Shep O'Neill.
$1.87, that was all. And 60 cents of it in the smallest pieces of money. Pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time by negotiating with the men at the market who sold vegetables and meat. Negotiating until one's face burned with the silent knowledge of being poor. 3 times Della counted it. $1.87. And the next day would be Christmas. There was clearly nothing to do but sit down and cry. So Della cried, which led to the thought that life is made up of little cries and smiles, with more little cries than smiles. Della finished her crying and dried her face. She stood by the window and looked out, unhappily, at a gray cat walking along a gray fence in a gray backyard. Tomorrow would be Christmas Day, and she had only $1.87 to buy her husband Jim a gift. She had been saving every penny she could for months, with this result. Jim earned $20 a week, which does not go far. Expenses had been greater than she had expected. They always are. Many a happy hour she had spent planning to buy something nice for him, something fine and rare, something close to being worthy of the honor of belonging to Jim. There was a tall glass mirror between the windows of the room. Suddenly, Della turned from the window and stood before the glass mirror and looked at herself. Her eyes were shining, but her face had lost its color within 20 seconds. Quickly, she pulled down her hair and let it fall to its full length. Now, Mr. and Mrs. James Dillingham Young had 2 possessions which they valued. One was Jim's gold timepiece, the watch that had been his father's and his grandfather's. The other was Della's hair. Had the Queen of Sheba lived in their building, Della would have let her hair hang out the window to dry, just to reduce the value of the Queen's jewels. So now Della's beautiful hair fell about her, shining like a brown waterfall. It reached below her knees and made itself almost like a covering for her. And then quickly she put it up again. She stood still while a few tears fell on the floor. She put on her coat and her old brown hat. With a quick motion and brightness still in her eyes, she danced out the door and down the street. Where she stopped, the sign read, Madame Sofronie, hair goods of all kinds. Della ran up the steps to the shop, out of breath. "Will you buy my hair?" asked Della. I buy hair, said Madame. Take your hat off, and let us have a look at it. Down came the beautiful brown waterfall of hair. $20, said Madame, lifting the hair with an experienced hand. Give it to me quick, said Della. The next 2 hours went by as if they had wings. Della looked in all the stores to choose a gift for Jim. She found it at last. It surely had been made for Jim and no one else. It was a chain, simple round rings of silver. It was perfect for Jim's gold watch. As soon as she saw it, she knew that it must be for him. It was like him, quiet and with great value. She gave the shopkeeper $21, and she hurried home with the 87 cents that was left. When Della arrived home, she began to repair what was left of her hair. The hair had been ruined by her love and her desire to give a special gift. Repairing the damage was a very big job. Within 40 minutes, her head was covered with tiny round curls of hair that made her look wonderfully like a schoolboy. She looked at herself in the glass mirror long and carefully. If Jim does not kill me before he takes a second look at me, she said to herself, he'll say I look like a song girl. But what could I do? Oh, what could I do with $1.87? At 7 o'clock that night, the coffee was made, and the pan on the back of the stove was hot and ready to cook the meat. Jim was never late coming home from work. Della held the silver chain in her hand and sat near the door. Then she heard his step, and she turned white for just a minute. She had a way of saying a little silent prayer about the simplest everyday things. And now she whispered, "Please, God, make him think I am still pretty." The door opened and Jim stepped in. He looked thin and very serious. Poor man, he was only 22, and he had to care for a wife. He needed a new coat and gloves to keep his hands warm. Jim stopped inside the door, as immovable as a dog smelling a bird. His eyes were fixed upon Della. There was an expression in them that she could not read, and it frightened her. It was not anger, nor surprise, nor fear, nor any of the feelings that she had been prepared for. He simply looked at her with a strange expression on his face. Della went to him. "Jim, my love," she cried, "do not look at me that way. I had my hair cut and sold because I could not have lived through Christmas without giving you a gift. My hair will grow out again. I just had to do it. My hair grows very fast. Say Merry Christmas, Jim, and let us be happy. You do not know what a beautiful, nice gift I have for you." "You have cut off your hair?" asked Jim, slowly, as if he had not accepted the information, even after his mind worked very hard. "Cut it off and sold it," said Della. "Do you not like me just as well? I am the same person without my hair, right?" Jim looked about the room as if he were looking for something. "You say your hair is gone?" he asked. You need not look for it, said Della. It is sold, I tell you, sold and gone too. It is Christmas Eve, boy. Be good to me, for it was cut for you. Maybe the hairs of my head were numbered, she went on with sudden serious sweetness, but nobody could ever count my love for you. Shall I put the meat on, Jim? Jim seemed to awaken quickly and put his arms around Della. Then he took a package from his coat and threw it on the table. Do not make any mistake about me, Del, he said. I do not think there is any haircut that could make me like my girl any less. But if you will open that package, you may see why you had me frightened at first. White fingers quickly tore at the string and paper. There was a scream of joy, and then, alas, a change to tears and cries, requiring the man of the house to use all his skill to calm his wife. For there were the combs, the special set of objects to hold her hair that Della had wanted ever since she saw them in a shop window. Beautiful combs made of shells, with jewels at the edge, just the color to wear in the beautiful hair that was no longer hers. They cost a lot of money, she knew, and her heart had wanted them without ever hoping to have them. And now the beautiful combs were hers, but the hair that should have touched them was gone. But she held the combs to herself, and soon she was able to look up with a smile and say, "My hair grows so fast, Jim." Then Della jumped up like a little burned cat and cried, "Oh, oh!" Jim had not yet seen his beautiful gift. She happily held it out to him in her open hands. The silver chain seemed so bright. "Isn't it wonderful, Jim? I looked all over town to find it. You will have to look at the time 100 times a day now. Give me your watch. I want to see how it looks on it." Instead of obeying, Jim fell on the couch and put his hands under the back of his head and smiled. "Del," said he, "let us put our Christmas gifts away and keep them a while. They are too nice to use just right now. I sold my gold watch to get the money to buy the set of combs for your hair. And now, why not put the meat on?" The Magi were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. They invented the art of giving Christmas gifts. Being wise, their gifts were wise ones. And here I have told you the story of two young people who most unwisely gave for each other the greatest treasures of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these two were the wisest. Everywhere they are wisest. They are the Magi.
And that's our show for today. From VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver.